master. Prologue. A scream. It had no sound, no breath, and no voice, and yet it fell upon him with claws of grief. The scream grew until its non-sound tore his soul apart. Elisat woke to agony. He had done so for days, weeks, long enough for time to blur, for the past and the future to be lost in an undifferentiated present of drudgery and beatings. His material reality was so present in its pain that it had overwhelmed his senses, shattered his concentration, and cut him off from anything other than the torture of his body. The orcs had worked him until he had given out. His body was old, weaker than those of the other Eldar slaves. His eyes fell on his hands, on the long fingers so translucent, already so far gone towards crystallization. He was a long way down the path of the seer. He had travelled so far that the end of his bodily existence was the shaping fact of his reality. Every perception was filtered through the imminence of his fusion with the Infinity Circuit, or so it had been before his capture. The orcs had turned him from being a being of spirit to a being of nerve endings. But when he could work no longer, they hadn't killed him. They had taken everything from him. They had even stolen his waystone, either through greed or instinctive cruelty. But they kept him alive. Perhaps they had other uses in mind for an Eldar Farseer. As brutish as the orcs were, they had a cunning that was dangerous to dismiss, especially their leader. So Elisat woke to agony. But that was nothing new. The new thing, the terrible novelty, was that he hadn't been jolted to consciousness by a kick in the ribs or a whip across the back. He had been woken by an even greater agony. He had heard his brother's psychic death cry. It had resonated in his mind and soul as if it were his own scream, but because it was not, it carried the extra charge of consuming grief. And there was still worse. Beyond the pain, beyond the grief, there was the knowledge of what his brother's end meant. He had a responsibility now, one he couldn't fulfill. The consequences were the raw stuff of despair. They did not take a farseer to predict. The shard of Kayla Mensha Cain was his to guard and protect. He could not do so. Not when he couldn't even help himself. Broken and in fetters, he had no recourse other than to pray to murdered gods and a splintered one that the shard remain hidden. He tried to divine if it would, but when he sent his consciousness out onto the skein, he ran into the disordered psychic fury and energy of the orcs. The threads of possibility were altered and torn so quickly and so chaotically that he could follow no coherent pattern, and the orc's psychic presence, an incandescence of exuberant anger, threatened to drown him. And he couldn't even venture any further than the immediate disorder. He had no runes. They too had been taken from him. He had nothing to guide him out and back along the temporal weave. Something was coming. Elisat heard the boisterous cacophony of the guards change in tone. Brawls and barbaric laughter ceased. In their place came awe, excitement, and fear. Elisat looked up. His cell was little more than a closet, a place to store a possession rather than a living thing. It was barely high enough to sit up in, and he could not lie down without curling fetal tight. The floor was deep in filth, an archaeology of misery. The door to the cell was like so much of this ship, crude, clumsy, but effective. It was a patchwork of scrap metal, welded together in an object as strong as its edges were ragged. Instead of bars, Elisart looked through gaps and rips in the metal. They were wide enough for him to see the ship's corridor. They were so narrow, he couldn't pass his arm through without slicing open his wrists. He watched, waiting, as the creature approached. The ripples of its presence spread before it. Orcs howled in ecstatic worship. Prisoners whimpered, hoping for a quick death. Crouching, Elisart kept his gaze steady. He feared ends far worse than his own demise. He could hear the beast coming now, its footsteps a pounding drum of war on the metal decking. The booming resonated down Elisart's spine. It grew louder, shaking dust and powdered rust from the door. Just outside his cell, the monster stopped. The only sound now was the orc's breathing. It was a deep, growling rattle, the sound of giant strength and hair-trigger rage reverberating in a vast echo chamber of a chest. The orc blotted out the dim lights of the corridor. Elisart saw nothing but an immense silhouette. It was broader than he was tall. It was violence made flesh, and it was the ruler of an empire. Elisart couldn't see the orc's eyes, but he could tell from the tilt of its head that it was looking at him. It was pausing, thinking. A meditating orc, in Elisart's experience, was one of two things. It was either comically idiotic or fantastically dangerous. There was nothing humorous in the shape before him. There was only doom. The orc whirled and bellowed an order. Its voice was a rasping thunder. It strode off. As it did so, Elisart collapsed against the rear wall of his cell. He gasped. The tangle of possible futures had suddenly cleared. Elisart could see no further forwards than he could before. But now there was no need to know more. The ship had changed course. He knew where it was heading. "No," he thought, "not there. Not this orc." And still his knowledge was useless. Still all he could do was pray.